Harry Potter and the Orb of Exuberance by Fezzador. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 43. Reconnecting. The train ride back to Seattle went much like it did at the tail end of August. There wasn't much scenery since the Chinook line was almost entirely underground, but between conversations with the other passengers and playing enchanted versions of non-magical games, the time did pass rather quickly. Harry and Othniel whiled away their time playing several rounds of Egyptian rat screw with some of the other students, namely the Quidditch equipment manager of the Horned Serpent team, Ricky Mathis.
Potter, Beckett!
Ricky greeted the younger boys as they entered the lounge car after lunch on the first leg of the journey.
It's been a while, how you doing?
Not bad, Rick, replied Harry as he shook Ricky's hand. Othniel and I are looking forward to spending a few days back home with my relatives in the Vancouver area. What's new with you? Ricky grinned broadly.
Just chilling on cloud nine. It's not every day the Horned Serpents are at the top of the standings in both Quidditch and the Quiz Bowl.
Several of their housemates let out a prideful whoop in response.
You're lucky Vancouver isn't all that far from Seattle. My folks live in San Francisco. That's a jaunt.
Harry and Othniel both winced.
I hope you've got a plane ticket or something, because had I not taken Harry up on his offer, I'd first have to travel to Bend, Oregon to get my brother and sister, and then we'll be on the road for a good 8 hours to get to western Montana to visit my grandparents, groaned Othniel.
Ricky smiled knowingly.
I wouldn't be going back if I was going to be on the ground the entire way.
Harry scrunched his face.
Wait, couldn't you just take the train to Boston and then fly from Logan International to San Francisco? I mean, that would be a fair bit faster.
I agree completely, replied Ricky. But a nonstop ticket from Boston to San Francisco isn't exactly cheap, you see. It's a lot less expensive to fly from Seattle to San Francisco, and the train ride doesn't cost me anything. Besides, it's an opportunity to spend a little extra time with some of my housemates.
I suppose that's true, Harry said with a nod.
Say, aren't you in Nova Woodward's here? She's supposed to be traveling back on this train, is she not?
She is, confirmed Ricky.
But why would she be on the Chinook?
She usually stays at the castle, or returns to Great Britain for the holidays.
Harry sighed.
She's my foster sister. I invited her to spend Thanksgiving with me.
She's rather quiet, but a nice girl, Ricky admitted. Solid chaser, too. I'd have to imagine she'd crack the starting lineup next term, but this year there's just a log jam of upperclassmen in front of her, so she's still a reserve.
He shrugged. If you're looking for her, I haven't seen her yet. I'm guessing she's still in her compartment.
Are we allowed to visit students from other years in their cars? Asked Harry.
I don't think anyone told us we couldn't.
I guess, replied Ricky with uncertainty in his voice. But perhaps there's a reason she's still in her compartment. She might not want to be bothered by anyone right now.
Harry didn't look deterred.
I'll take that chance.
Ricky threw his hands up in the air.
All right, but don't blame me if she's less than receptive, Potter.
About 20 minutes later, Othniel excused himself to take a nap in his compartment. Harry, meanwhile, went to look for Nova. He calculated that the third-year students must be 2 cars ahead of the first years, so he counted backwards as he left the leisure car. When he entered what he thought was the third-year car, he began knocking on several compartments in an attempt to locate his friend. A couple of minutes later, Harry heard someone clear their throat loudly. He whirled around and saw a tall, thin, middle-aged witch with a bouffant dark red hairdo.
"Can I help you, young man?"
Harry looked around nervously.
"I'm trying to find my foster sister, Nova Woodward. I thought she'd be in this car."
"You should have found me first," sighed the witch. "No sense disturbing everyone in this car when I could have directed you from the get-go."
She then pointed with her hand. "Fourth from last door on the right." Harry breathed a quick thanks to the witch, who nodded curtly in return. Harry made his way toward the other side of the car. Once he was sure he had located Nova's compartment, he rapped on the door. A few seconds later, it slid open, revealing a familiar blonde-haired girl. Her hair was down, and her glasses were in her shirt pocket rather than in her face. Her eyes were dark and baggy. Harry got the feeling that she hadn't been sleeping very well lately. She yawned, then offered Harry a small smile.
"Hey there, Harry," she murmured, smacking her lips a couple of times.
"I'm surprised you came looking for me. How are you?"
"I'm all right, I suppose," replied Harry.
"You look like you could use a good night's sleep."
Nova smiled again.
"You have no idea."
She waved her head back toward her compartment.
"You better come in and make yourself comfortable."
Harry followed her inside the compartment without any ado.
"So is it just you in here?" asked Harry. "This is your first time taking the Chinook, isn't it?"
Yeah, I have the compartment to myself, Nova confirmed. And yes, this is my first time. Usually I take the Hurricane to Boston and take one of those infernal Muggle 747s across the Atlantic.
Harry nodded. He knew that he had also traveled from Great Britain to North America when he was a child, but if he had a frame of reference, he couldn't remember it.
So how are you feeling? You know, seeing your parents for the first time in ages.
It's a lot, Harry, sighed Nova.
It's a lot for me to take in. I have so many questions, you know, and I'm sure they have many questions for me. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm looking forward to it more than anything in the world, but... She sniffed.
And a few tears trickled down her cheeks.
You'll have to forgive me if I'm a bit of an ooey-gooey mess, Harry, she sobbed.
Instinctively, Harry reached out with his hands to comfort Nova, but he jerked them back just as quickly. He looked at Nova in her eyes and slowly began reaching out again.
May I? He offered in a soft voice.
Through her tears, Nova forced a smile and nodded once. Harry then wrapped his arms around Nova's back and just let her sob on his shoulders. Neither Harry nor Nova said a word for several minutes, so Harry broke the silence.
I wonder if Remus can provide you with another sleeping potion after we get to British Columbia, Harry wondered aloud.
Speak of the dragon, where is he?
He's probably toward the front of the train, guessed Nova.
They keep faculty sequestered from students as Yves Lemoyne frowns on fraternization. If we're lucky, we might see him in the dining car, but even then we won't be able to share a table with him. We won't get to actually catch up until after we disembark.
Ah, replied Harry with a nod.
Nova sighed.
And you're right, I haven't been sleeping well the past few days. I just have a lot on my mind. A sleeping potion would be lovely.
Her lips curved into a faint smile.
Between Professor Lupin, your godfather, and your uncle, my father, I'd reckon at least one of them can hook me up.
When the Chinook finally screeched to a halt at the University Street Station in Seattle the following Monday morning, Harry and Othniel wasted no time gathering their things and clambering out of the train. While they were responsible for their belongings, they were both grateful they didn't have to wait for their year to be called. Harry led Othniel through the throngs of people, hoping to locate Uncle Roger and Aunt Rhonda, but had no luck finding them. Harry let out a frustrated groan when Othniel's ears perked up. He tapped Harry on the shoulder.
Harry! Harry! I think I hear your aunt and uncle calling for you.
Harry turned toward Othniel.
Where?
He asked. Othniel pointed over Harry's shoulder in a 1 o'clock position. Harry nodded and followed Othniel toward the source of the calls. The calls for Harry and Othniel grew louder and louder as the boys continued making their way through the masses.
Oh, there you are, Harry,
exclaimed Roger as he wrapped the lad up in a strong hug. He tilted his head.
They must be feeding you well at Ilvermorny. Looks like you might have grown half an inch since the last time we saw you.
He then extended his hands toward Othniel.
And you must be Harry's friend Othniel. I'm his uncle, Roger Woodward. How are you doing?
Othniel shook Roger's hand.
All right, I suppose, and thank you for having me over. It was very generous of Harry to invite me.
It's our pleasure, young man, replied Roger.
Meanwhile, Rhonda wrapped Harry up in a heartfelt embrace before introducing herself to Othniel. Harry turned to Roger.
I guess we're just waiting on Nova and Remus, or Professor Lupin, then?
Roger chuckled.
I don't think he'll have to be so formal when he's around us. I'm sure he appreciates the respect, but he's practically family to us.
He then chuckled softly.
I hope our little jalopy can handle 3 trolleys worth of luggage.
Harry tilted his head.
What about Remus? Is he coming back with us?
Roger shook his head and smiled.
He'll be riding back with Sirius on that crazy motorcycle of his. Flying it is one thing, but knowing how Sirius rides it, keeping it on the ground is suicide.
He shook his head.
Don't worry about them, Harry. You'll see them back in Sirius soon enough.
Their conversation was interrupted by a high-pitched cry from just outside the train.
Mum? Daddy?
Rhonda swiveled around to see a blonde rocket hurtling toward her with reckless abandon. As soon as Nova parked her trolley, she clung on to her birth mother as if she'd never let go again, tears streaming down her cheeks. Rhonda couldn't help but let some tears flow herself as she stroked Nova's dishwater blonde hair.
I never thought I'd see you again, baby, she cooed. I love you, Nova. I've missed you more than words can say. I haven't been this happy in 14 years.
A few minutes later, Roger embraced his daughter tenderly.
Welcome home, princess,
he whispered into her ear.
Your mother and I have adored you since the day you were born. Our aching hearts have been longing for this day. Our family finally feels complete. He kissed his daughter tenderly on the forehead.
You were but an infant when we lost you, and now I see a lovely young witch before me. I'm very proud of you.
The normally stoic Roger began to break down.
Please forgive us, Annalise,
he managed through his sobs.
Not a day has gone by without us thinking about you. It's true that your mother and I were young and naive and may not have been fully prepared for parenthood, but along with Harry, you are the greatest blessing we could have ever asked for.
It's okay, Daddy,
Nova whispered back tearfully.
My grandparents, your parents, aren't perfect, and I don't agree with a lot of their politics, but I still had a happy childhood. I'm sorry you and Mum weren't there. I know you would have given anything to watch my dance and piano recitals, see me off on my first day of visiting school, watch my first Quidditch match.
She sighed.
I don't want you to beat yourself up over it. That's the past. What's important is that I'm here right now.
She wiped her cheeks with the sleeve of her blouse.
I brought some photos, she said with a giggle. We have so much catching up to do.
Roger smiled at his daughter.
Indeed we do.
We have a few photos of our own we'd like to show you when we get back.
He pointed at her trolley.
Why don't you get your things? I'm sure the boys will be glad to help you load them on the back of Mum's car.
Once all three children's belongings were stowed away in the trunk, Harry, Athneil, and the Woodwards started making their way back to the greater Vancouver area. Once they left Seattle, the traffic was surprisingly cooperative. They pulled into their driveway on Skylark Place around 2 o'clock. The first thing Harry did was let Hedwig out of her cage. The poor owl had been cooped up in the train for 2 days, and Harry could tell that his avian companion was getting restless. Hedwig hooted with delight as soon as the hatch was opened, and fluttered away looking for some tasty morsels in the vicinity. Athneil followed Harry upstairs to his room where the boys got to unpacking. Meanwhile, Nova got settled in the guest bedroom across from Harry's room. At around 3 o'clock, Rhonda knocked on Nova's door.
Nova, dear, would you care to join me downstairs for some tea and biscuits?
Nova creaked the door open.
That'd be delightful, she murmured. Let me freshen up a tick and I'll be right down.
Sounds good, love, purred Rhonda.
Rhonda made her way downstairs, then poured 2 cups of piping hot chai and offered one to Nova once she found her way to the kitchen.
Here you are, love, Rhonda said softly.
Thank you, Mum,
Nova replied. It's a little weird calling you Mum. It's going to take some getting used to this.
Truth be told, sighed Rhonda.
I wasn't sure if you were even interested in wanting to meet us. Father and I wouldn't have blamed you if you were still angry or resentful.
Nova shook her head and smiled sweetly.
It's okay, Mum,
she said before taking a careful sip of her hot tea.
I mean, when I first found out that I was qualified to study magic, a lot went through my head. It was at that point I found out that the people that raised me were actually my grandparents, so who are my real parents? Why were my grandparents so ashamed of them and the people they associated with? They espoused this rubbish against muggles and muggle-born witches and wizards. I always knew it to be wrong, but I would never dare tell my grandparents how I really felt.
Rhonda gently took Nova's hand.
You're free to be yourself, your darling.
Your father also disagreed with your grandparents' prejudices. His views fell in line with Sirius, Remus, and Harry's parents. And even though I never had their gifts, a lot of them always made me feel included. Not a single one of them was ashamed to be my friend, just as I was not ashamed to be theirs. Prejudice goes both ways, you know. Non-magical people have treated witches and wizards cruelly for centuries, so it's not like it's a one-way street.
Nova nodded. When I first saw Harry Potter, I honestly didn't know what to think. I mean, part of me was not a shock that the boy who lived decided to attend Ilvermorny to begin his magical journey rather than the expected Hogwarts. He's a rock star in the magical world, after all. But he's also the boy that my actual parents raised. So I hope you can't fault me for feeling rather envious or resentful.
For the first time that afternoon, Nova offered a natural, genuine smile.
It took us a few weeks to warm up to each other, you see. I was very insecure at first, as I just wasn't ready for friendship with him.
Her smile broadened.
After the ice was broken, I soon discovered he's not at all like the celebrity I imagined him to be. He's humble, he works hard, and he's utterly devoted to his friends, friends like me. It's a privilege to be his foster sister.
She paused to take another sip of her tea.
More than anything, my heart breaks for him because of what happened to his birth parents. He speaks so fondly of you that I couldn't help but let my curiosity get the better of me. I had to see my birth parents at least once before my child has gone forever, and so far I'm glad I did. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to come home.
Rhonda gently squeezed Nova's hand.
It's a pleasure, love. Our home is your home, even if you only choose to make it your home a few days a year.
She smiled knowingly at her daughter.
Christmas is coming up soon. Is there anything you'd like?
Nova smiled sweetly.
It's going to be easier said than done. I don't expect it to happen overnight, but I want you two and my grandparents to be a family again. That doesn't mean you can't disagree on some things. I just want the guilt and shame to subside. For my sake, for Harry's sake. Gran and Grant be a bigots, but it doesn't mean they're irredeemable. There's good in them, and I want you two to see it. Just like I want them to see how magical you truly are. Love is the most potent magic there is, and you're living proof.
After mother and daughter finished their spot of tea, Rhonda began dinner preparations.
It's just a regular dinner tonight, not Thanksgiving. But Remus and Sirius will be over in a couple of hours to join us. Why don't you bring some of those photos down after dinner and show us what we missed out on?
We'll have a few of our own that we'd like to show you and the boys, if you're okay with that.
Can't wait, Mum, replied Nova as she made her way upstairs.
For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Fezzador. Music is The Chamber by Kevin MacLeod. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server and other ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.